Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's the Rumble Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Jonas Jerebko, Andrew DeClerc, Joey Devine, Ralph Sampson, Anderson Varejao, Sean Keen, Corey McGinney, Anthony Lamb, Patreons, Joe Hanrahan, thank you, Joe, Lee, thank you, Lee, Danielle, thank you, Danielle, musical guest, Paul Revere and the Raiders. And now the temporary host of Brown Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock Podcast, and you are listening to the Round Ball Rock Podcast. I'm here, as always, with America's Uncle Dad, America's newest fiancé, Sean Keen. Sean, how are you?
I'm good.
Sean, question for you. Colorado football this weekend, how's that been going?
You know, everyone was really excited to get on board with Coach Prime and Coach Prime's kids. And the Buffalo, and they didn't do very well against Oregon.
Well,
Joey,
they didn't lose to the Miami Dolphins by 50 points. So it's
you know what?
They
that
are the
is
best.
True.
They are the
they
best
didn't...
football team in Colorado.
Yeah, so. they they did not flirt with. I mean, Sean Payton's probably more overrated than Deion Sanders. That's yeah. important to know. I think the telling thing that happened in the game was. There was, I think it was the second quarter, and Colorado had a 4th and 8 at Oregon's 38, and they punted.
I've got to say, Sean, I'm looking forward, sorry to cut you off, but I just thought of a really stupid joke.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to the movie Happy Madison makes where Paul Blart Mall Cop plays Coach Prime after he's suspended. For doing whatever he's doing in Colorado.
And then he like goes back to coaching youth. He almost has to get suspended from college football and become a pro coach.
Yeah.
I think that might have to be what it is. I actually think they would use Tim Meadows, but that would be all right. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, Colorado punted on 4th and 8 from Oregon's 38. And then when Oregon got the ball back, they went for it on 4th and 4. On I think their own 14 yard line, and they got like 18 yards, and then the game was over.
For the record, I'm rooting for Colorado football and Coach Prime because I hate white football coaches. All right, Sean, some business off the top. RoundRockPod@gmail.com is where you email us your questions. Follow us on, or if you'd like to give us money, you can do that at patreon.com/roundrockpod, or follow us on Twitter for as long as that's free at roundrockpod. Sean, today is the first of many division previews, because guess what, Sean? The season is about to start, kind of.
I can't believe it. I mean, the real season just ended. The real heads, the FIBA World Cup, obviously. As any American sprinter would tell you, that's where the real world championship is played. So congratulations to Germany.
We
the
should
best
also
basketball nation on earth.
We should also mention the reason this podcast is a few days late is we kept waiting for Dame to get traded. It kept seeming like he was going to get traded, and then he didn't get traded. So you're probably going to get two round ball rocks this week. Sean, prediction. Where is Dame going to get traded to?
I think it's very weird because I don't really think someone besides the Miami Heat is going to trade for him on speculation. There are rumors that the Toronto Raptors are getting involved. It seems insane that the Chicago Bulls are apparently getting involved. But it still kind of seems like he's still going to want to be on the Heat no matter where he gets traded. Sure. But it seems like Portland's really mad at the Heat. My prediction is I think he's going to start the year in Portland and it's going to be really awkward.
I mean, it won't be any more awkward than James Harden in Philadelphia. But yes, it will be awkward. great. I think he's going to be a Toronto Raptor, Sean.
Oh my God.
And I think he might be a Toronto Raptor while you're listening to this, because this is how our podcast works.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I mean, so does Portland loves OG Anunoby? Is that what's going to happen?
That's my guess.
They've blown their chance at four first round. Maybe that's the idea, that they can flip OG Anunoby for four first round picks. The price everyone was quoting as the what it would take to get, once again, OG Anunoby.
All right, but let's get to the division we're starting with, Sean, is, of course, our home division, the Pacific Division. Sean, do you want to run through how we're going to do this for our listeners?
So we're going to go through
for any ball listeners that have just joined our podcast.
Well, first of all, we're going to relentlessly slander their ownership. We're going to go team by team in order of their finish last year. We'll talk about because this is a big season for the NBA, we always try to preview last year. Was it last year? Maybe it was the year before. NBA 75 was happening.
That was last year, yeah.
And we assigned each team one of the founding fathers, one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence for that. We have talked about which divisions are which elements, I think. I wish I'd remembered more of
We did which divisions are which Avengers at one point. We also did which divisions are which Friends from Friends.
So this year, because the NBA is going into something that we've heard about for years, a new TV deal, which everyone is supposed to be really excited about. The new TV deal that's going to make the cap go up. Well, they're trying it. HBO Max is streaming some games. You can stream inside the NBA for only $10 extra a month from what you pay for regular Max. And so I've decided to assign each team a winner of the Outstanding Comedy Series Emmy.
Great. I should say real quick, hilarious move by HBO Max to be like, we're adding basketball. Basketball's going to be our thing the same week they canceled Winning Time.
Yeah, they did.
All right, let's start with our first team, the Sacramento Kings. Sean, last year they were 48-34, good for third in the West. They lost to the Warriors 4-3 in round one. They were first in offense and 25th in defense. Sean, do you want to tell our listeners who they got rid of?
Yeah. These guys will no longer be playing in California's capital. Kick to the curb. We have Terrence Davis, bad person. Matthew Dellavedova, probably deported to Australia. PJ Dozier, Rishon Holmes, Chimezie Metu, and Nemias Queta.
Queta. And joining the team to replace those guys are Chris Duarte, America's favorite old rookie, Jordan Ford, Colby Jones, Scal Labissiere is back, bro. JaVale McGee, Jalen Slauson, who sounds like a person who doesn't exist, and Sasha Vazenkov, everyone's favorite created NBA 2K Euro player. Sean, which Emmy-winning series are the Sacramento Kings?
Well, Joey, they are a recent winner, Ted Lasso.
Oh, no.
It's a feel-good story of a coach that goes to a strange kind of backwater city with an intense and wacky fan base. They have cute elements like lighting the beam. There's a lovable group of European players on this team and an owner that may have been trying to sabotage the team for years. One other thing that they have in common with Ted Lasso is they're probably not very good. They're not actually that good.
Sean.
I apologize to Ted Lasso and the city of Sacramento. But we call him like we see him here.
Couple of questions. They've really locked in last year's team with new deals for Sabonis, Harrison Barnes, and Trey Lyles. Do you like them doubling down on the one-year wonder?
You know, I think I do, as much as I don't really enjoy watching Trey Lyles play basketball. I like this better than them taking a big swing on Kyle Kuzma, which seemed like it was their other option and also probably wasn't going to happen. So I like kind of just switching it up, like bringing some guys back. And then I feel like it's much more of a in-character move to bring in like a Euro Cup MVP and a 27-year-old third-year player like Chris Duarte. You know, like he already had Sacramento energy.
My next question, Sean. Famously, every year, the Sacramento Kings team with local pizza chain pizza guys. Here's Isaiah Thomas.
What kind of guy is Isaiah Thomas? He's quick, fiery, and determined.
And I'm a pizza guy. That's why I'm loving the fresh from scratch pizza at Pizza Guys. Are you a pizza guy? Then get the Pizza Guys.
Real pizza, real value, Pizza Guys.
So, Sean, my question for you is, who on this team is a pizza guy?
Ooh, okay. Let me look at the roster real quick.
Because I feel like they got rid of some pizza guys. Matthew Dellavedova, pizza guy. Rishon Holmes, pizza guy.
He's a pizza guy. That's a good point. All right. I would say Chase Comanche is literally a pizza guy. Like he's gonna be delivering a lot of pizzas. JaVale McGee is a pizza guy.
He's like Sasha, maybe the ultimate pizza guy.
He might be, that should be his nickname. Sasha Vezenkov, not a pizza guy. Alex Len, I don't think he's a pizza guy. I still don't.
I think Chris Duarte, I'm going to go ahead and... I think he spent too much time in college to be a pizza guy. He's eaten too much pizza.
Oh, he's
a like reformed pizza guy. Yeah.
Trey Lyles is not a pizza guy. Colby Jones, a rookie out of Xavier, is definitely a pizza guy.
Scal Labissiere, is he a pizza guy?
He's a pizza guy.
Okay. Great.
And then Harrison Barnes.
Not a pizza guy.
Not a pizza guy. He's like a calzone guy.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, they actually have these lasagna twists that you should try. People are like, I don't know, dude. Kessler Edwards is a pizza guy. Mm-hmm. Sabonis, I don't think he's a pizza guy.
Mm-mm.
Possibly because
not.
He also eats kosher, and that might make it. Malik Monk, he's a pizza guy.
Oh, for sure.
Keegan Murray,
not a pizza guy. I don't think. Too
Kevin Herter,
too grown up. At a young age.
Yeah, that's true.
Kevin Herter, not a pizza guy. I don't think
he's not. I don't think he is either. I think like. I think he's been called a pizza face, and that means, you know, nothing wrong with that. Davion Mitchell.
Not a pizza guy.
Not a pizza guy, but De'Aaron Fox, he's a pizza guy. Dude.
No, I don't think a pizza guy would rip off his fans.
Oh, that's a good point.
NFT.
Yeah, all right. In the metaverse, he's definitely not a pizza guy.
Yeah, but I think JaVale McGee, Malik Monk... might be the greatest pizza guy combo.
Yeah, if you're making like an NBA Showtime pizza guy.
All right. Sean, last year their defense was 25th in the league. Do they need to do something about that?
No. It kind of rules that they suck at defense. They're like fine if they need to be, but it's not really the kind of team they have. You know what I mean? They're just like I don't really know what they were going to do that was going to be some kind of amazing defensive thing. Like, I don't know. Chris Duarte is not going to come and shut dudes down. Sasha Vezenkov might, like, knock guys down. He's big. They need to, okay. I don't really think they have to do anything about their rebounding. Their defense. I think they could possibly take some steps to deal with their rebounding. And I'm not sure that the Scal JaVale combo is it, but
all right. And finally, Sean. Well, I guess I got two more. Okay. Last year it was mostly players lighting the beam aside from 50 Cent. Are there any Sacramento celebrities you would like to see be in their beam rotation?
Okay, well, obviously Greta Gerwig.
Honestly, might be too famous for that now.
Might be too famous. That is crazy. Isn't that a crazy thing? I mean, for us
true Gerwig heads, I've been talking about Gerwig since like 2007.
We're like Greenberg. We're like, yeah, Greenberg's girlfriend is going to light the beam. Brie Larson.
There is a Sacramento actress, I think. Should be lighting the beam, but it's not Brie Larson. It's Jessica Chastain, baby.
Oh, she would be great.
I would like to see Colin Hanks light the beam.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Do we think... Oh, he's dead. Some of these guys are dead. I'm looking on at this list. I think Chick should light the beam.
Yeah, that's good. I like it.
Obviously Cake should do it, and he should.
Yeah.
He should have to whack that weird like. What is that thing called?
I think they should make him
a vibra slap. Yeah. Is that what it is?
I think they should make him re-record The Distance, where instead of saying we're going for speed, he says we're lighting the beam.
Yeah, we actually do. We had a Distance song too about if ever gonna leave it. But yeah, he should definitely have to do that.
I would like to see Adrian Barbeau light the beam.
That'd be tight. That'd be tight. I guess I would say Nicholas Sparks.
Oh, here's a great beam lighter. Are you ready? Comedian Brian Posehn.
Oh, wouldn't
wow. you like to see Brian Posehn light the beam?
It's too bad that Joan Didion didn't live long enough to light the beam, because she would have been great and so confusing.
Is there anyone else I would like to see light the beam?
I would like them to offer Kevin Johnson the chance to light the beam and then take it away from him. Or like he hits a button that doesn't work. And then awkwardly. Oh, JT O'Sullivan. I would like to see JT O'Sullivan light the beam.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good.
Wait, does Jermaine die from Sacramento?
No, he's from Richmond. From
Oakland. Yeah.
I think I'd like to see, there's got to be one. Obviously, Sean, there's a big one we missed. And that is, of course, what?
Is it Eddie Murphy?
No. It's the Cramps.
Oh, Sean, wow.
They should get the Cramps to light the beam.
That's pretty good. Oh, and LeVar Burton.
Mm-hmm.
But then they should act like he's going to get to light it every day. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, this was just a tryout.
Yeah. Dusty Baker. Could they get Dusty Baker to light the beam?
100% they could get Dusty Baker.
Yeah. okay. That is our yearly Sacramento celebrity people born in celebrities born in Sacramento roundup. Oh,
everybody loves it.
Sean.
Yes.
According to the first place I Googled for NBA over underlines, Sean, the Sacramento Kings are over 43.5.
Sorry. Is that right? Yeah, I think it's 43.
Are you taking the over or the under on the Sacramento Kings at 43.5?
43.5. I am going over.
Interesting, because I'm taking the under.
43.5?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
I think the West is much harder this year than it was last year. I don't think they were very good. Like, I think they're fine. They're like a good team, but it's like, for me, they remind me of like the Atlanta Hawks 3 years ago, you know, where it was like, oh, they just had like a magical run. And they are a above average team. I think we're looking at about 42, 43 wins here. That's my guess.
Yeah, I would probably have gone. I think they're basically going to win 44 games. That's my thought. Is that they might be a little worse, but I do think the team got better. But,
I think the league got better that they happened to be in. All right, Sean, the Phoenix Suns last year they were 45-38, good for fourth in the West. They lost to the Nuggets 4-2 in round two. They were 15th in offense and 7th in defense. Sean, do you want to tell our listeners who got the F out of Phoenix?
They kicked him to the curb, buddy. Coach Monty Williams, Darius Bazley, Bismack Biyombo, Torrey Craig, Jock Landale, Chris Paul, Cameron Payne, Terrence Ross, Landry Shamet, and TJ Warren, all leaving Phoenix.
Wild list of people who are out of there.
I forgot they fired
Monty Williams. All right, and here's who they added. Another crazy list of people. Bradley Beal, Eric Gordon, Devin Eubanks, Yuta Watanabe, Kata Bates-Jop, Chimezie Metu, Bol Bol, Aduka Azubuike, and of course, our man.
What's up, Lakers fans? Coach Frank Vogel here.
Coach Frank Vogel. Mm-hmm. Sean, which Emmy-winning series are the Phoenix Suns?
This one's kind of, it's Friends. Oh, you know, okay. No one told you the Emmys were going to be this way. You're dominating ratings, but Frasier's in the way. It's like you're always considered a lead into Cheers. Mm-hmm. And it hadn't been their award ceremony until their eighth year. Basically, there's a lot of stars here. There's a lot of hype. But is this combination really that good? Seems like they're throwing a lot of resources at this problem. They're basically paying everybody $1 million an episode. Mm-hmm. But if Friends had a salary cap, I don't think we would have seen Paul Rudd or Brad Pitt's appearance. They'd be really leaning heavily on Janice because mm-hmm. they couldn't get like Tom Selleck to be a boyfriend or anything like that. So I think they're friends. It's like much more famous. You're going to see them on TV all the time. You're like, wow, they're on again, huh?
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be like the one with the torn ACL.
Mm-hmm.
The one where Yuta Watanabe has to play 42 minutes. I have a question for you, Joe.
Yes. Let's
which
hear
Phoenix
it.
Sun is which friend?
Oh, Jesus. Okay. It's hard because it feels like a lot of Rosses. Like a lot of guys who are only good and likable in theory, but whose own madness kind of poisons them.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say right off, Bol Bol is Gunther.
Yeah, I can see that.
That's the most obvious one that comes to mind.
And you're kind of like, this guy might be a criminal.
Yeah, it's like very, he's like, got an attitude problem. I could see him dyeing his hair platinum blonde at some point. All right. DeAndre Ayton is Phoebe.
Oh, I like that.
Just kind of flighty. Everyone unclear why he's on the team. Do you ever think about that? Why are any of those people friends with Phoebe? Doesn't make any
sense. No, it's weird. It's really weird.
It goes the other way. It's like, why would Phoebe be friends with these people, actually? Because Phoebe is cool and interesting and weird, and the rest of the friends are all pretty boring. All right, Devin Booker is Joey.
Go ahead.
Kind of, just because Devin Booker, obviously good, but seems a little himbo-y, I'll say, you know? Remember that video of him Twitch streaming and learning that the season was canceled?
Yes, I do.
Hurt his hand riding a bike with no hands.
Live streaming,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I think Kevin Durant is Monica. Because he's the one that has the most success, even though he's crazy.
Well, and he's kind of fastidious and, I mean, like, really a lunatic, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only thing I would say is, while Monica is a chef, Kevin Durant famously barely eats.
Yeah, and also hates a chef, even though pretends they're friends.
Yes.
All right, Bradley Beal is Ross because no one likes him and doesn't want him. He's only good in theory.
Okay. Just have two friends to go.
I know. Then we're running into trouble here.
It's a little bit of a top heavy roster.
Drew Eubanks is ugly naked guy. God. Who is Monica? I mean, who is Rachel on this team? I guess this is gonna seem strange, I think.
Okay.
This one's easy. Terrence Ross is Chandler. Because he's fun but useless.
he's not actually on the team.
Oh shit! But... You're right. I'm looking at an old roster here. Damn it. I forgot Terrence Ross is gone. Dang it! All right. So then, God, I don't know, Sean. Who do you think Chandler is?
I guess I would say. It's weird because they had a bunch of Chandlers last time, and now it's sort of like they're a bit of a Chandler-free zone, you know?
Yeah.
but I would say the guy that's like the closest to Chandler, I would say, is probably Damian Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Like, little bit of a hang. I mean, you could have said that Damian Lee was Ross, but just because he's someone's brother-in-law. But I think he's probably the Chandler figure.
Oh, no, you know who I think Chandler is, actually? Hold on. Mm-hmm. It's the only NBA player I could think who would record this video.
Let's ride.
Oh!
Yeah, it's our man Eric Gordon. Fun to have around, but again, not really bringing a lot to the table.
Yeah, you get a little, like, there's a certain sense that Eric Gordon was sort of, the last couple of years of his career, he's just kind of been hanging around, sitting on the couch and making wisecracks.
Probably doesn't remember most of the games he's played with the Houston Rockets post James Harden leaving.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Wait,
not
really?
for the reasons Chandler doesn't believe that, but
Well, and also, I mean, you could say for many years no one knew what Chandler's job was, and that's kind of been Eric Gordon since James Harden left.
All right, and then I guess that leaves us with a Rachel. It's funny. It feels kinda to me like Devin Booker is both a Rachel and a Monica and a Joey. Cause he's like obviously the most desirable, but also kind of flighty.
Yeah. I think he has a lot of Rachel energy. Sure.
But you know what? I could also see, Josh Okogie being a Rachel a little bit, like, kind of a guy who, Jennifer Aniston was a person that friends, like, discovered, and now a lot of teams want him. You know what I mean?
I can see that for sure. Like, it kind of took a while to find, her role.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, he was basically a waitress for the Timberwolves.
Yeah.
And now they're giving him a chance to really show his stuff.
All right, that took me much longer than I thought it would. Sorry about that. Sean, question for you.
Uh-huh.
About the dunked on brain NBA media landscape we currently live in. The Suns get a lot of credit from quote unquote smart fans for their minimum signings.
Mm-hmm.
Are they really that good? Is Yuta Watanabe really a guy everyone should have been coveting?
No, I'm like surprised by all of this. Like Kata Bates Diop.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like Chimezie Metu, but like he didn't really play for the Kings last year. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of the Bol Bol is just not good at NBA basketball. Like that's,
I mean, he's good at, NBA Twitter highlights.
Yes, that's true.
And
yeah, it's like every time you hear about like a 7-footer who can really handle the ball, it's not really that great. Like a 7-footer who can pass the ball, sure, but the fact that Bol Bol can dribble behind his back and between his legs usually turns out to be a negative.
Mm-hmm.
No offense, it's cool to watch, but. Yeah. I don't think that's really going to help a title contending team. But the other thing that's just weird about this team is they were just like, the sky's the limit. We are opening up the vault. And then it was like, and we are trading Landry Shamet and Cameron Payne for cash considerations and second round picks 4 years from now.
And they're about to trade DeAndre Ayton for Yusuf Nurkic, we should mention.
Which is,
you know what? Nurkic is a Rachel. For sure. Nurkic is the Rachel that they're missing, actually. Because, again, a lot of Rosses on the team.
It is a lot of Rosses. So he might have a little bit of a bromance with somebody on that
Yusuf
team.
Nurkic is the Rachel. Gary Trent is the Phoebe.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah,
there we go.
That's what's going to happen here. All right.
I mean, look,
finally, there. That's actually, this is The key to NBA team building is every NBA team has to have a Ross, a Rachel, a Joey, a Chandler, a Monica, and a Phoebe. That's how true NBA champions are built.
Yeah.
And what the Suns will finally acquire the two pieces they're missing.
Yeah. I mean, look, you look at Aaron Gordon. He was a Rachel, you know.
Yeah. All right, Sean, question about Frank Vogel.
Michael Porter Jr. is a Phoebe, by the way.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Is he the coach that can finally make Kevin Durant happy?
Oh, of course he can. I mean, he's got that uplifting energy that everybody needs. You know, what has Kevin Durant always wanted is a more defensive-minded coach.
A depressed man who he can push around.
What's up, Lakers fans? Coach Frank Vogel here.
I also feel like Frank Vogel is more miserable in a sunny city.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like Vogel and Monty Williams are probably coaching the wrong teams right now.
Uh-huh, yeah.
They should switch. Obviously, Isaiah Thomas did not want Monty Williams to keep coaching. The shadow GM of the Phoenix Suns didn't like it. I mean, I think Kevin Durant will probably, like, this year it'll probably be okay, but I would not be surprised if Frank Vogel did not make it through next season. He'll be fine this year, but it's just funny that they were really insistent on getting a defensive-minded coach. And that's just probably not really going to happen with this team.
Yeah.
But they should be really good on offense.
All right, my final question, Sean. Who's the point guard on this team?
It's Bradley Beal, baby. That's what they have announced.
It's really Devin Booker, though, right? This is like an A-Rod, Derek Jeter thing where
they're moving the wrong guy.
Yeah, exactly.
what's kind of weird to me is that I'm not even really sure who the backup point guard is.
It's Saben Lee, right?
Oh, I guess it's
Saben Lee. I mean, he's on a two-way. I like Saben Lee, actually. Saben Lee's cool, but cool player.
It's Damian Lee.
It's Eric Gordon.
Yeah, which is also weird. Like everyone will talk about Eric Gordon being a point guard, but like,
I mean, it might be Bol Bol, dude.
Yeah, Bol Bol, bringing it up. Mr. Ball Security. I mean, they say I've heard that about Eric Gordon before, but it's like, has not really passed the ball particularly in the last 10 years, but he can still do it. He's an amazing guy. So
let's ride. All right, Sean. They're over unders 51.5. What do you think?
I'm just going with the conservative under. I just think someone's gonna get hurt.
I am also taking the under, because this is the exact type of team that let's just say sleepwalks through like a third of their games thinking they've already won the championship.
It's reminiscent of the Dwight Howard, the first time Lakers.
I was going to say this is reminiscent of any of those New Jersey Nets teams, Brooklyn Nets teams Kevin Durant was on.
Yeah. it's more just kind of like I hate to, you know, bet against a guy's health, but Kevin Durant's going to play like 50 games.
Now,
so they'll be really good when he's playing, but like, will they be like 40 and 10 when he's playing?
The one thing I'll say that makes me almost want to take the over is I will say I do respect Devin Booker's like actual like wanting to win more than any of the Nets, you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
right. Yeah.
His competitiveness and like he's Devin Booker is not Kyrie Irving or James Harden. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Well, and he's not really like prioritizing a contract either.
Yeah. I'm going to take the under, but I wouldn't be surprised if I was wrong. And it's actually, only because of Devin Booker, not because of literally anyone else on the team.
Well, I mean, if they really do flip Ayton for, look, I don't believe in Nurkic at all, but I like Gary Trent Jr. So I kind of like that for regular season.
Sure.
I don't know about the playoffs. Nurkic also hurt literally all the time.
Yeah.
Not literally, but half the time. Literally
all right, the Los Angeles Clippers, Sean. Uh-huh. Last year, they went 44-38. Mm-hmm. They were 16th in offense, 18th in defense. Who did they get rid of?
They got rid of Eric Gordon and Malcolm Brogdon's MRI results.
Mm-hmm. Now they're bringing in. Oh, man, Sean, you know what I just realized I'd made and I forgot?
Oh. What's up, Suns fans? Coach Frank Vogel here.
Oh, well, that's great. Oh, good. I'm glad that Frank got to again.
All right. They're bringing in, though, Kenyon Martin Jr., Jordan Miller, and Kobe. Kobe Bean Brown finally joining the Clippers. The Clippers finally got Kobe, Sean.
Kobe. Yeah, they're gonna I think whenever somebody fails to get separation in the lane and throws up an awkward floater, they're gonna yell, Kobe Brown.
Yeah. Sean, which Emmy-winning series are the Los Angeles Clippers?
The Los Angeles Clippers are Seinfeld, Joey. They are a team about nothing. Kawhi Leonard can't maintain a relationship with a team before some little neurotic thing ruins everything. Paul George is George. He's stuck in a rut because he has to be near his parents constantly, you know. He constantly chokes in pressure situation, and he tries to get things like playoff P going. Mm-hmm. He definitely will have a summer of George in the future. Ty Lue is the Elaine. He should be a normal, competent adult, but the maniacs surrounding him ruin everything. Mm-hmm. He can never decide whether Terrence Mann is sponge-worthy. And Steve Ballmer, their owner, is a Kramer figure because he's constantly making wacky entrances and has wild plans. Like, you got to see these bathrooms at the Intuit Dome, Jerry.
100 toilets, Jerry.
Yeah. 100 toilets, Jerry. It's going to be good. And then the old owner is like Michael Richards because he loves to say the N-word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I can't not... you brought it up.
Toilets! 1,160 toilets in urinals! Three times the NBA average number of toilets in urinals! We do not want people waiting in line! We want them to get back to their damn seats at the end of the half, before the game. Clocks!
Clocks! My favorite part of that. Just clocks! Alright,
Yeah, since then he has, he went on Paul George's podcast and he talked about how they had an acre of scoreboard, which is such a confusing measurement, but I love it.
All right, Sean. My first question is, will you feel better about this team once they trade Terrence Mann for James Harden?
Yes, because it's like, I think Terrence Mann deserves to be free. And
You think being on the Sixers is being free, huh?
I mean, relatively. I mean, he just needs a new guy in charge. Boy, did you love how people talked about Terrence Mann? Like, he was like a second year player.
Yeah.
When he's like 27 years old. That was really great. I love Terrence Mann, though, so I'm kind of like, I don't mind it. I don't really think he's a point guard, though. That's the real, like, I understand why you wouldn't want him to be the point guard. I would just have him on the floor all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not necessarily bringing the ball up, but playing the two or the three or.
Uh-huh. Yeah. This team, I don't even know what to do with this team, Sean. I'm going to be honest.
Oh yeah, it's wild stuff. I really don't know. It's so strange because I don't know how you predict what's going to happen with Kawhi Leonard, who had another knee surgery this year. Knee surgeries are kind of bad for you, Joey.
Yeah.
And he just seems like such a strange guy. And again, still looks really, really good at times.
All right, here's the thing I want to say, Sean. Okay. I just went to ESPN's Clippers roster page.
Okay.
And here's a very funny thing about ESPN's roster, Clippers roster page. They have listed as two separate players, KJ Martin and Kenyon Martin Jr.
Oh my God. Oh my God, ESPN.
They even have two separate headshots. The Kenyon Martin Jr. one has a Rockets headshot, and the Clippers one has a and the KJ Martin has a Clippers one.
Oh no. I do feel like this could be a relatively successful regular season team, though. Like
maybe we think that every year, and then they're like the seventh seed.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Like, I still think they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, of course.
Now, do you think it's a bad sign that Nick Batum's wife has already announced his retirement from the NBA in a year?
No, I think that's a good sign, actually.
I mean, I think like it just seems like a very unathletic team to me. And
what, you don't like Bones Highland?
I mean, I used to athlete. Really like Bones Highland, but he's very small. And then
KJ Martin is very athletic. Yeah.
their third string point guard is a blogger. No, it's an amazing story for Jason Preston, but he didn't even look good in summer league. And you know, you should look.
Well, Sean, they have Russell Westbrook.
When you're, that's true. Oh, they've got. Well, so yeah, that's their real guy. I don't know. I'm really fascinated by this team.
It's funny you're fascinated by them because at this point I find them completely boring and uninteresting.
it's such a bizarre roster.
I mean, they're going to trade a bunch of these people for James Harden, though, right?
I think they probably will, yes, yes. And I had kind of forgotten that Westbrook, because Harden has chased so many guys out of town and alienated teammates, I forgot that when Westbrook got traded from the Rockets, it was just because Harden's like, heads up, I'm going to make these guys trade me. And then Russell Westbrook went to Daryl Morey. He's like, well, I guess it wasn't Daryl Morey anymore, but he went to management. It's like, can you send me somewhere else, please?
Yeah. Question, Sean.
Yeah.
Robert Covington.
Yeah.
That's my question. Robert Covington?
I mean, he gave this interview with The Athletic, and I think at the time he thought that he was going to be headed back to Philadelphia imminently in a James Harden trade. And he just sounded so upset about being on the Clippers and like being benched all the time and just being like stuck, because he wasn't even really like, I don't think he was really that thrilled to even be in. Yeah, he says he got a vendetta. He said he had a vendetta, but I believe it's against his own team. And then he thought he was going to get traded 6 months ago, and he's still on the team, and he never got to play, and he's just so. And he also was playing with playing all these runs with one of Nick Nurse's assistants. I don't know. He just seems so upset, and like he was so underrated for a while, and now he's just like the most depressed man.
Yeah.
I don't know. He might snap if they don't trade him. I think he could fight Chuck the Condor, just like clothesline Chuck the Condor going on to the court one day. And that will definitely make Ballmer trade him.
You think?
Right? If he did something to Chuck?
Yeah, you're probably right.
I'm just saying it's personal, you know. They also ask him in this article, have you gotten a chance to talk to Ty Lue? No. Do you think that conversation will happen at some point? If it do, it do. If it don't, I won't dwell on it. I haven't talked to T since the season ended. So they're in great shape. Also, Ty Lue also isn't a contract year. It's crazy that, like that's why it's almost better to have Harden. Like, have every single player on the roster insecure about their future, including the coach and the general manager, going into a new arena. Like, that's like theater to me.
Well, they're over under, Sean. 46 and a half.
I'm going under. I mean, they'll be healthier than last year, and they won 44 games.
I think I'm taking the over, actually, even though I've just been like, this team is boring. I think they're due, actually, for a season where Kawhi and Paul George play more than 15 games together.
Yes. Well, and I also think that... I think Paul George should probably be kind of okay. Didn't he have both... I don't know. That dude this time seems like he got a lot of rest, and instead of trying to force his way back into the lineup, he just sat and recorded some podcasts, and that's one of the healthiest things you can do, Joey.
All right, Sean. Look, we're doing something different for our divisions this year. Every episode, we're going to have an expert on to talk about one team in the division. Someone who knows the team inside and out. Someone who is possibly employed by someone to write specifically about that team. And for our Pacific Division preview, we have a very special guest on to talk about the Golden State Warriors. He's a blogger for Golden State of Mind. He's a comedian. He's an uncle dad. His name is Sean Keane. Sean, my special guest about the Golden State Warriors.
Hey, Joey.
Last year they went 44-38, good for sixth in the West. They lost 4-2 to the Lakers in round two. They were eighth in offense and 17th in defense. They got rid of a lot of people. Anthony Lamb. Good riddance, buddy. Ty Jerome, Andre Iguodala, Jamichael Green, Patrick Baldwin Jr., Ryan Rollins, Jordan Poole, the second timeline, Dante DiVincenzo, and Bob Myers, who claimed he didn't want to work in sports anymore, but now just hangs out with every single sports team imaginable. So really what he wanted to do was get away from Joe Lacob. Joining the team, Chris Paul, Dario Saric, Brandon Pojemski, Trace Jackson Davis, Usman Garuba, and some wing player who will definitely be named Rudy Gay.
I forgot to.
Oh, and Corey Joseph.
Sorry, yeah.
Special guest Sean Keane. Which Emmy-winning series are the Golden State Warriors?
You know, I was actually did not realize this had won best comedy series. Mm-hmm. It's the Golden Girls, because they are old as fuck.
You know what else? Another reason they're the Golden Girls, of course, is they're all about as tall as
Sophia
Petrillo, yeah.
Well, and also,
like, Arthur would definitely play center for this Golden State Warriors.
They're also
team.
About as fast as those. Yeah. Guys. So I would say probably with this team, they don't quite fit into the Golden Girls template, but I would say that Clay's definitely Rose, the Betty White character, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chris Paul's Sophia. He's the oldest and probably has a lot of stories about living in other places.
I don't know, though. Chris Paul is also mean, though, like Dorothy.
Yeah, well, but Draymond's also mean. Draymond's, meaner. But there's
something about Draymond to me that makes him a Blanche.
Yeah, but Steph's pretty publicly horny.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
He's a Blanche. You know, like, if she was really into feet...
Mm-hmm. Okay, fair enough.
But I think Clay has to be the Rose because he's the only like naive one. But he has some Blanche qualities as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow, they're like all the Golden Girls wrapped into one. What you want your NBA championship contender to look like?
Yeah. All right, Sean.
I had one question for you.
Actually. Sure.
So this year, Joey, the Warriors promoted Mike Dunleavy Jr.,
ugh,
traded for Chris Paul, and flirted with signing Dwight Howard. Are they trying to kill you dead?
Yes. Joe Lacob, for some reason, wants me to put rocks in my pockets and walk into the ocean.
Yeah, that's what they want you to do.
They are trying to force me to KMS. I will say the fact that they didn't sign Dwight Howard was the most encouraging thing that they did this offseason.
Yeah. It's weird because what I hated was people talking themselves into it.
Mm-hmm.
But I did like that Draymond Green, when news that the veterans had signed off on taking Dwight and Dwight was going to practice, he quoted the I have a dream speech.
But also he was very condescending to poor Jason Dumas of Cron 4 News. All right, Sean, you're an expert. You get paid to watch this team. Let's start with last year's team.
Okay.
Why was last year's team so fucked up?
I mean, you had the punch. Jordan Poole was mad the whole time, I'm going to say, which is also not like, I'm not saying he didn't deserve to be really mad.
Because he got punched in the face, too.
Well, and he just, I honestly think it would have made a difference if they had suspended Draymond Green for at least a single game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like it just, and then you just had these weird things where Draymond comes out and it's been two seasons. And then he has this revelation that he never talks to Jonathan Kuminga instead of yelling at him. And that's weird, but mostly they just, The like off court tainted stuff is signing Anthony Lamb and not really doing anything about Draymond and Jordan Poole fighting. The overarching thing though is just a total misunderstanding of what you're supposed to do to defend an NBA title, which is not have like six 20-year-olds that you're relying on ostensibly. Like, it just, I've said this before on the podcast, but like trade those picks, just trade that first rounder, trade the second rounder. There's plenty of vets. You can just sign on a minimum. Don't, because then they traded those guys a year later for nothing. So it was kind of like,
well, it wasn't for nothing, Sean.
Well, they got,
it was
Chris
for
Paul,
Chris Paul and Trace Jackson Davis.
Yeah. And for cutting payroll, but like, It was just an insane way to go about things when it's kind of like they already had two young players, you know what I mean? And they were stuck with Wiseman, obviously, but it just was this weird, I don't know, like letting Gary Payton go and then trading for him. I mean, that's better than holding on to James Wiseman, but they just, it's just like not what you, somehow the front office managed to alienate the young players and the old players at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really something.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can't just have like two project rookies and a project veteran like Andre Iguodala, you know, it's like, so, and then I'm sure, I have a feeling, and this is not with any like reporting I know or anything, but it seems like Joe Lacob has worn some people out a bit, including Steve Kerr. Like, would you be shocked if this was Steve Kerr's last year coaching?
Well, that was actually going to be my next question.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Steve Kerr's in the final year of his contract, which is not usually something coaches like to do.
No,
is be a lame duck. And while I do generally consider Steve Kerr to be lame, what's going on there, dog?
Like, I don't know. It just seems like it to me. It feels like the Warriors A waited a little too long. Which, you know, is
they certainly did with Bob Myers.
They waited too long with Bob Myers, and now Steve Kerr's number is just going to be higher because Monty Williams and Greg Popovich just signed enormous deals.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they were pretending that they had made Bob Myers a really large offer, but they clearly didn't because he left. You know, it's just these aren't really even that complicated. But yeah, like you know, you've got I don't know, they've done this before. They chose not to pay Jerry West, which I don't really think mattered, but it is kind of shitty to give him like a 50% pay cut. That's all. Not that he wouldn't have been depressed anyway. But you know. So it's weird, and it's hard to tell if they're being kind of cheap in a weird area or if it's like Lacob doesn't like that everybody else gets more credit. But also, I mean, Steve Kerr might be also, I mean, he's pretty rich at this point, and he might kind of want to just do TV. Like,
no fucking way, dude.
You think he's going to take another job somewhere?
If he leaves the Warriors, it'll be because he takes another job.
Well, he could also, you know, would it be that shocking if he was the next Spurs coach, for example?
Well, but they just paid Pop. I don't know.
Oh, he might be the next Clippers coach.
Yeah.
They'll pay him, and he lives in the Palisades anyway, right?
I mean, couldn't you also see the Milwaukee Bucks firing Adrian Griffin this year, and the way they get Giannis to stay is by overhauling their team, including hiring Steve Kerr as their coach.
And I wouldn't be all that shocked if he coached the New York Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like those are all like pretty potentially tempting situations. Mm-hmm. And actually, the other place I could maybe see him going, and they're, you know, granted it comes down to whether they pay him a lot of money, is the Portland Trailblazers. So yeah, I guess you're right. He probably is. It depends on how it goes, though. You know what I mean? Like, if he's leaving the Warriors after a first round loss, I think he's definitely, you know, jumping to another team. If they have a good year, I could see him. And this is assuming he doesn't get an extension, which I don't think he's going to get. They have a chance to I think he would take a year off and maybe do TV for a year and like wait. It's just like, it kind of depends on if he feels like he has something to prove.
Sean, will you be worried if he starts a new podcast midway through the season like Bob Myers did?
Horribly, horribly worried. I mean, once that happened, we both knew he was gone.
Yeah. All right. Sean, the Warriors brought in some guys you hate.
They did.
Which new guy do you hate the most?
I have to say, I mean, it would have been Dwight Howard. I don't hate any NBA player more than I hate Dwight Howard. Mm-hmm. I don't think. I mean, setting aside your Kevin Porter Jr.'s, your
right,
your Miles,
your
Bridges,
real scumbags.
Like
yeah.
That's Dwight is a sex criminal. Don't get me wrong, but mm-hmm. he's sort of like an uncharged sex criminal, and yeah. that actually is just a bonus. Like I would hate him almost nearly as much. So I don't want to keep saying sex criminal, Joey.
Please stop. Yeah.
I will say that I don't hate Chris Paul as much as I did 2 years ago.
Okay.
And I'm not really even sure why that is.
It's because you have always had a secret like of the Suns. That's why.
Oh, that might be why it is. But I mean, I was rooting against them the whole playoffs.
Sure, but you still, there's part of you that's like, oh, Jason Kidd, Steve Nash. Yeah. I love
Charles
the Suns.
Barkley. Yeah. Yeah, I did. They're like one of the teams that I root for no reason. Just like I always root for UCLA basketball. Mm-hmm. And there's not really any reason for it. And yeah. Just so that probably is part of it. And I also think he's really interesting, even though he's, I guess I just, Chris Paul is my Roman Empire, Joey. I'm thinking about Chris Paul all the time. The State Farm universe, he's weirdly good at bowling. He has that Zelig quality where every time something really weird happens in the NBA, he's somehow involved.
Yeah, don't you kind of worry about that part of
yes,
it?
Yes,
joining
I
this
do.
Team?
No, it's like, yeah, like, yeah, he was there when Steve Kerr fist fought Joe Lacob.
That wouldn't be what I think, what I would be worried about.
I feel like a lot of things could happen. like it turns out the Chase Center was built really shoddily
yeah.
and a wine cellar collapses during a game.
Yeah.
I don't know. You never know. Like, I never would have thought that a lot of the things that happened around Chris Paul mm-hmm. would happen. And yet they did. Like, he's barricaded a man inside a home mm-hmm. to get him to not sign as a free agent.
He played in a different city because of Hurricane Katrina. And that city later stole an NBA team from another uh-huh. NBA city because
and
of it.
And then he was traded there. Then he was traded there. Like it's very weird. Anyway, yeah. So I don't really hate Chris Paul as much as I used to. If this had happened mm-hmm. 2 years ago, I would have been like livid. And now I just think it's incredibly weird that they traded for Chris Paul. That does not change. It still is like I still think it's probably more of just a salary cap move, but it is bizarre. It is so weird that he's going to be on the team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
especially if they start him, that will be truly
I strange. Guess we have to talk about that, even though I don't think it matters.
no, it doesn't seem like it should matter at all.
Are they going to start Chris Paul?
Like, isn't the whole idea of having Chris Paul is that he's always playing when Steph Curry sits?
Yes.
So why doesn't he just come off the bench? Well, I guess if Steph is playing entire quarters in the first and third, Chris Paul has to play the first 6 minutes of the second and the fourth. But, I mean...
But they're also... They have to play Chris Paul more than 12 minutes, too.
Yeah, they do. So
that's
they'll play
why.
Together. I just... It just seems like poor Kevon Looney, you know?
I don't think he cares, man.
He doesn't. I just feel like... He's always the guy that's
but
like,
yeah,
we're
weird.
Actually going to bring him off the bench.
It
we're
is
gonna,
weird. Is
we're going to start Jordan Poole.
Here's my question. Is Kevon Looney their third best player?
No. It's Clay is still very good, I think. I mean, Looney's very good, but Clay, like, he still led the league in threes last year. Like, he's not... I mean, he was... definitely disappointing in the playoffs, and he was definitely not in tremendous shape last season, but I kind of give him the benefit of the doubt. I mean, he made 41% of his threes. His defense was stupid, but
his shot selection also stupid, like literally detrimental to the team in
the
playoffs.
It was, but he also yes but I I don't know. I don't really blame him for the playoff. I think he'll be in better shape this year.
Here's my other question. Actually, let's talk about the playoffs really quickly. Sean, okay. Do you find that it's strange that the reason they lost to the Lakers, besides everything else that was going on, is because they were way too small, that they got even smaller?
I mean, that's not encouraging, I would say.
Also, it seems like they're a team that is both small and slow. Is that a combination we've ever seen before in the
NBA?
This
might be unprecedented, actually. It could be. Like a bunch of guys whose best skill is like shooting and being balanced. So,
because normally the idea is when you go small, it's to be faster than the other
quick
team.
And athletic. Yeah. Yes.
But that's not the case here.
No, they're not. Because I remember watching in a different playoff series, De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk. They weren't getting contained by the Warriors defense. Mm-mm. Let's just say that they might have had some struggles with that.
Mm-hmm. And now they've added a guy who's 5'11".
Yes, they have. Yes, they have. I mean, he is in really good shape for a 38-year-old, but he is also a 38-year-old. So old, slow, and short is what they are dealing with. I've thought this before. I feel like there's no way that you can't play Moses Moody more than 20 minutes a game this year. But I've thought that before. Much like last season. But he was messing up a lot at the start of the season.
He's also not exactly fast.
No, but he's
young,
athlete.
But he's not fast.
I think who's the fastest guy on the team?
It's Wiggins, probably.
Oh, yeah, Wiggins is really fast.
He tries to run hard, but that's not a guarantee either.
Wow, you're really slandering the boys on this one.
I guess we now have to talk about Jonathan Kuminga quickly. A lot of the Warriors veterans keep going on podcasts and are like really passing the buck on Jonathan Kuminga. They're like, Chris Paul's really gonna unlock Jonathan Kuminga. Uh-huh. By, like, he's already working out with him, and it's like, why didn't you do that the last 3 years?
Well, Draymond didn't have any relationship at all with him, he said. So, I don't really blame... I think I have a little more latitude for Klay Thompson than you do. But I just think his, like, rehab and injuries were so horrific. I'm kind of like, I don't blame him for not being a great mentor for these guys. Draymond Green, I blame him a little bit. Yeah. And you know, I also think that when you have, I do think that things like, you know, leadership and intangibles are really important, but when you just aren't playing at all, like, you can't expect Andre Iguodala to be much of a force when he just is like literally not able to play, you know?
Sure.
So,
also, let's talk about the coach and the two young players. Is he going to play them this year?
I feel like they have to, but I also thought, I mean, look, they did play Kuminga quite a bit last year. It wasn't like he was not playing until the playoffs when they had just decided that he was getting killed by the Lakers too. So it's not like he was some magic, but you know, he played 20 minutes a game last year. Just more than Anthony Lamb.
It just was very strange for them in two straight playoff series to be, getting out athleticismed, like outsped and then also outbigged, and for him not to play the fast, strong guy.
But that's like they've played LeBron enough to know that, like, that Jonathan Kuminga is exactly the guy that LeBron James is going to pick on and abuse all the time.
But the other idea is, I love Gary Payton II. Don't get me wrong, but he can't guard Anthony Davis. All right, Sean.
Yeah.
Is there going to be a player fight this year?
Maybe, but it'll be a weird one. It'll be like Usman Garuba takes a shot at Corey Joseph.
I fully expect there to be, in around January, a Clippers-style blow-up between Chris Paul and Draymond Green.
Ooh, love that.
On the bench, and people will be losing their minds.
Yeah, and then Chris Paul will be traded for somehow a smaller guard at the deadline.
Yeah.
Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah. All right, over under 48.5, Sean.
I'm going over.
Wow.
I mean, it's a good number.
I mean, they only won 44 games last year, Sean.
Yeah, but I just think while the Chris Paul addition is weird. Their starting five was so good when they played together, and just
But now they have a starting five that's not going to ever have played together.
Well, okay, but Chris Paul, Jordan Poole was so terrible and played so many minutes last year.
Mm-hmm.
I just almost anyone in place of him, I would pick a couple games of improvement.
That's sort of my worry, though. Actually, is like, look, we all know I'm not a Jordan Poole fan. I've said it many times on this podcast, but he did play like 38 minutes a game for this team. Something that Chris Paul and Steph Curry can't really do 82 times.
I just don't think they're which means missing anything. It was terrible.
Corey Joseph is starting, though, for like at least 15 games.
Well, I am not a real Corey Joseph fan.
Uh-huh.
But I feel like, I don't know if this is backed up in the numbers, but I think they were better with Ty Jerome than Jordan Poole last year.
Yeah, they don't another have him slow either, guy. Though.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, Jordan Poole can't shoot threes. He turns the ball over all the time.
I know. Oh, I know.
And so I don't think they're really missing that much. Like, scoring off guard who doesn't particularly pass, that is a pretty replaceable thing. I don't know. I mean, I think under. That's fair. Yeah. Maybe
there's a legitimate chance this season is a disaster. Like a horrific disaster, I think. I don't think it's going to happen, but it's very possible.
Yeah, well, that's life when you're light years ahead.
All right, Sean. We got to hurry through this one a bit because I have to go to work. But let's talk about the Los Angeles Lakers. Last year, they went 43-39. They were 20th in offense, 11th in defense. Those numbers are slightly skewed, though, because they were one of the worst basketball teams anyone's ever watched for about two-thirds of the season. Mm-hmm. Made a million trades.
Yeah.
Who did they get rid of?
They got rid of Mo Bamba, Malik, Teach Me How to Smoke Weed, Beasley, Troy Brown Jr., Wenyen Gabriel, Shaquille the Real Shaq Harrison, FIBA champion Dennis Schroeder, mm-hmm. Cole Swider, Tristan Thompson, somehow still in the NBA, and Lonnie Walker, the fourth.
Mm-hmm. Well, they did add one guy in straight Vogel style.
What's up, Laker fans? Christian Wood here.
That's right. They added Christian Wood, Gabe Vincent, Taurean Prince, Cam Reddish, Jalen Hood-Schifino, Colin Castleton, Des Moines Hodge, and my man Alex Fudge.
Fudge Peckin!
Which Emmy-winning series are they, Sean?
They are The Office. Mm-hmm. Joey, you love The Office.
Oh, yeah, so much.
The Office. Well, it's a mock documentary, and there at all times there are at least two or three Lakers documentaries being made. Mm-hmm. At all times.
That's true.
I feel like, just like The Office, people get way too into the supporting characters on this team and will often want a larger role for somebody who is effectively a role player. Looking at you, Phyllis. Their boss, LeBron James, has wacky schemes like trademarking Taco Tuesday, but at its core, it's a workplace romance between a disgraced stand-up comedian and a team owner.
Mm-hmm.
Torian Prince is going to spend the entire season making faces to the camera when Cam Reddish fumbles the ball or Anthony Davis falls down for the third time in a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also love pranks. You know, we love the pranks on The Office, right, Joey? Like when LeBron gets a guy traded to the Washington Wizards. Funny prank.
Sean.
Yeah.
How will Jay Moore's influence be felt on this team? For those of you that don't know, yeah. Jay Moore, comedian Jay Moore from, I say that in air quotes, comedian Jay Moore and Jeannie Buss got married last week, finally. Mm-hmm. You heard it here first.
We did break the news of their romance many years ago. It's true. On this podcast. Yeah, that's why Cameron Crowe still has at Round Rock Pod on his newsbreakers list. Cameron Crowe, this is an invitation. Would you like to come on our podcast and talk only about basketball and or roadies?
Mm-hmm. I would love to talk to you about roadies.
Yeah.
All right, Sean, go ahead. How's it gonna be felt?
It's kind of like when you're living in a house and you don't realize there's mold in the walls.
Mm-hmm.
You don't like directly ever suspect that, but it's just the ambiance of the room, and it just kind of makes you sick, and you don't even realize what's happening. But and then it turns out there's a toxic presence in the building all the time, and it's slowly making you want to die.
Fair enough. Who's getting traded in at the deadline, Sean?
D'Angelo Russell. I also think
Cam Reddish. Sean, the answer is Cam Reddish.
Cam Reddish.
He gets traded every deadline.
Oh, and Jackson Hayes. Mm-hmm. I think we did.
We did not mention Jackson Hayes. Sorry. Bad guy. Fuck Jackson Hayes.
I think he could be gone
already because they added Christian Wood.
I actually think that gives them Jackson Hayes insurance. Reddish, Russell, Hayes, I think will be gone. And, you know, I mean, I have to figure out, I'd have to go into the trade machine to figure out how much additional salary they'd have to put together with D'Angelo Russell to get Chris Paul from the Warriors after mm-hmm. his fight with Draymond.
Oh yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I also could definitely see Gabe Vincent getting traded right away too. That being said, Sean,
mm-hmm.
I have terrible news.
What's that?
I really liked the offseason for the Los Angeles Lakers.
It was great. Like, they didn't lose anyone. Like, who would they be upset about not having from this group? Like,
maybe Schroeder, because he was pretty good for them.
Yeah,
but Lonnie Walker did win them some playoff games.
That is true. That was a rough moment for the Warriors. Uh-huh. It's weird because they got so hammered in the final game. It's sort of weird to remember that two of the games basically just came down to the wire, mm-hmm. and one of them was because Lonnie Walker made every shot he took.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I still think they would have lost in seven instead of six, but series a little bit closer.
Okay,
especially because
whatever you say.
Well, it was embarrassing.
Whatever you say. All right. Sean, what's the next book LeBron James is going to pretend to read?
Ooh, this is good. I think that it should be like a really acclaimed like YA fiction book. No, wait, hold on. Let me.
I know what it is.
What is it?
It's The Underground Railroad by Colson Whitehead. Am I right?
Well, I'm trying to think which one of his I've only read the Nickel Boys, so I guess he's not going to read the. Well, I guess he's not going to read it anyway. Yeah, that's a pretty good one. Should probably read The Underground Railroad.
It's good. It's
Nickel
really
Boys
good.
Is good. Yeah. So, I think. I mean, that's a really good. That's a really good one. Because it's got to be kind of new. What if he's reading? Let me find this title I'm looking for. What if he's reading Foucault's Pendulum by Umberto Eco? People are like, wow. Okay.
You know what another one I could see him pretending to read is?
What's that?
The Wind Up Bird Chronicle.
Ooh, that's good. I also think Sun Tzu's The Art of War.
No, but he would actually read that. That's the problem. He won't pretend to read.
He doesn't read books, dude.
All right, and then one other question I want to ask you about LeBron.
Uh-huh.
What's the first lie he's going to make up this year?
Oh, so I think what it will be is, okay, let me think. It's going to be, so his lie is going to be about someone who goes to a new team. It's, okay. It's going to be, Fred VanVleet's going to come out of the gate hot for the Rockets, and LeBron is going to pretend like Fred VanVleet was going to come to the Lakers until the last minute.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good. That's a Danny Ainge style lie.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what lie I think he's going to tell.
What's that?
I think he's going to say that one time he got he was opening up his mail and he spilled anthrax on Bronny Jr.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I mean, that's the danger of being a public figure. That's why he had to go to Saudi Arabia, Joey. He had to meet with MBS and make everything clear.
All right. Sean, over under for the Lakers. God, I hate doing this. Over under for the Lakers is 48.5. What do you think?
Over.
I'm taking like a hard over. I think they might like win the West.
I think it sort of depends. Like, they might. The only thing holding me back on saying like a
is
wild
Anthony Davis
over,
and LeBron's health.
Well, and also, I just don't think that LeBron cares about home court advantage.
Sure.
Like he was just, his whole thing last year was winning game two.
I
never serious.
I agree, but I think I have a weird feeling we are due for like it. Anthony Davis has been so quiet lately, like just no news, nothing. I think we're weirdly due for like a surprise career year from Anthony Davis.
I wouldn't be shocked. I just
where he
can't
plays like
that.
79 games.
I think there's no chance of that. But they're just not going to play him very much.
Yeah,
and he already signed. He's like signed for 5 years now, and it's very funny that that Anthony Davis almost doesn't bet on Anthony Davis.
Mm-hmm. I'm betting on him this year weirdly. All right, that's our episode. I have to go to work. Sean. Anything you want to plug?
Yeah, come see me at It's Your Move Games.
Oh, I love that show. That's such a good show.
It's Your Move Games. The show's called Critical Hit. It is on November 18th. I'll be headlining that show. And then the weekend before, I'll be at Cubs Comedy Club with Ryan Hamilton.
Great. And then as for me, I was on the Frotcast this week. Listen to that. You can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where on September 15th, 2023, I tweeted, made it to Amarillo, Texas from Bristol, and I'm having Texas Roadhouse. Because I'm in Texas, and it's where I eat 3 days a week, even when I'm not in Texas. Sean,
kind of endearing there.
Sean, did you write a song?
No, but I would like to play the old Kevin Durant song, Summer of 19, as a tribute to Brian
Great.
Adams.
Trust the process.
Trust the process.
And shut it down. Warriors, I dare you. Get smaller and slower. I want to see it.
I got my first championship rings, joining with the super team. Played till my Achilles tore. It was the summer of 2019. Me and some Splash Brothers went to the finals and we won two. Clay got hurt, Steph was still married, and now I play with Uncle Drew. Oh, and I look back now, that summer had so much upheaval. Kawhi and Paul George to the Clips, and then the Brow signed on with Evil. I want a teammate with no wife. I spend my time complaining to teenagers on Instagram. Then Sean Marks said he'd sign DeAndre, and that's when I called Shams, yeah. Standing on Rich Kleiman's porch, I'm sad cause Draymond hurt my feelings. And if we get Wilson Chandler, that team is gonna have no ceiling. Kyrie and I will be best friends for life. Oh yeah. Back in the summer of 2019. Oh yeah. Man, we were picking stocks, becoming Freemasons. We knew the earth was flat. I thought the boardroom would last forever. Forever, yeah. You know, I once met Brian Adams at a 4th of July party at David Geffen's house. He called me a cupcake and I burst into tears right in front of Apple CEO Tim Cook. And now I'm busy rehabbing, hitting up the clubs with Rodeons. Sometimes when I think of that July 1st, remember Chris Broussard is always wrong. Standing on a Brooklyn stoop, they told me I'd have my own food truck. And when I tried to join the Knicks, Kyrie said Dolan was a dumb fuck. He'd rather stab himself with a knife. Oh yeah. Back in the summer of 2019. Oh yeah. It was the summer of 2019. Oh yeah. Me and the Alibaba guy in a 69. Oh yeah. Oral sex with the Nets owner in a 69. Oh yeah. Kevin Durant in a 69. Oh yeah.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.